Oh, hello, I didn't see you there. This is Dr. Thaddeus Venture, and you're listening to the Long Box Guys. Whatever that means.
What are the Long Box Guys going to do tonight, Brain?
The same thing the Long Box Guys do every night, Pinky. Drink and talk about comics. They're useless to taking over the world. Yes!
Hey, everybody, and welcome to this week's episode of the Long Box Guys. With me, as always, are some of my very best friends since I was a very little kid. Tommy, how you doing down there? What you drinking?
I am doing okay. I am drinking some Great King Street Scotch by Cumbix Box, and it is delicious. How are you doing this week, Tommy?
I'm doing great. I got me a big old glass of Jack Daniels, because I like Jack Daniels. Jack Daniels is a fine little drink, and it was on sale, and I love it. Josh, my brother, what are you doing, and what are you drinking?
I'm doing okay. My left shoulder is screaming like a something that screams a lot.
A screecher.
And I'm sticking with the light beer, my Harpoon Rec League tonight.
What'd you do to the shoulder?
I got a shot for...
Oh, that's right. You get your pneumonia shot.
Yeah, pneumonia. Thank you. Yeah.
I got to tell you, when I got the shingle shot, that thing was like cement going in. Was the pneumonia the same thing?
No, it was fine. I didn't notice it. And then I was at home and I was like, oh, I think my shoulder's getting a little sore. And now I'm like, man, my shoulder's sore.
Mom! Mikey, how you doing? What are you drinking there, pal?
I'm doing excellent. And I am drinking some black cherry vodka soda from Canteen.
Canteen. I don't think I know that soda company. Where are they based out of?
Yeah, I don't know. And I don't have my glasses on, so I'm not fucking telling anyone.
So, fuck up.
Zero sodium, zero sugar, 99 calories per can. So I'm up to 198 calories right now.
Woohoo. Speaking of shrieking, Mike, are you wearing your Shrieking Eels shirt today?
I am wearing my Shrieking Eels tour shirt, courtesy of GeekOrthodox.com.
GeekOrthodox.com.
Hey, Tammy.
Yes. Shrieking Eels, courtesy of GeekOrthodox.com for all your t-shirt needs. Plug, boom.
Plug, boom, done. That's great. And today's episode, we're going to be talking about one of the great chameleons of the stage and screen. Speaking of chameleons, one of my favorite characters that Walton Goggins played was the chameleon. And that was on in Machete Kills. See how I did that? You guys didn't think I had a segue, but I had a segue within my intro.
Fancy.
Deep here. Interesting.
So we're going to be talking about Walton Goggins. If you don't know the name, take a quick second, pause this podcast, look him up, because you've seen him in dozens and dozens of things. I think a lot of people are just going to be thinking about him in different things. No one can say exactly where they first saw him, but you've seen him in a bunch of things. I think he's probably best known right now for the unicorn. But if you asked everyone 4 years ago, he probably would have been best known for Justified. Yeah. If you asked us 9 years ago, it probably would have been The Shield.
Yeah.
Shield that far back?
Yeah.
Yeah. So if you ask me, I know him most from one of my favorite stupid movies, Officer Down. And I'll be talking about that a little bit more. But do you guys remember how this fermented?
I don't know. It was last week's podcast. Somehow Walton Goggins came up, and then we just spiraled down, and we were like, how can we not do this podcast now?
I'm pretty sure it came about because we named like four things, and you're like, you know what? These all have one thing in common, Walton Goggins. And I think Mike brought that up. Like, who the fuck is Walton Goggins? And then we're like, oh, yeah, I know that guy. Stars.
Nobody knows his name.
It was because Josh went off on a tangent regarding people you recognize and then realize, oh, they were also in that, and Walton Goggins was my choice.
He does come up a lot.
He is. This is not a comic book episode, but we feel that Walton Goggins is so unknown, just his name, right? You know his work, but you don't know his name. We wanted to shine a light on him. So that's why we're deviating from our normal episode. But we're doing it like a round robin, typically, where we go over and we name our three favorite and then two alternates or, you know, honorable mentions. And if you hear us yell drink, that means that was on our list somewhere.
All right. And also a little caveat to what Michael just said. He has been in two movies based on comic books. Let's do it, guys. Hands up. Hands up. Two comic book movies Walter Goggins has been in. Walton. They're not exactly based on it, but yeah, Walton. Thank you. I'm going to say Walter a bunch of times. Walton Goggins.
Ant-Man and the Wasp.
Oh, damn it. It's three. Fuck. It's three. Mike, the first
one. Walter American?
What?
That's not Walter. Okay. All right. Never mind.
I don't know.
G.I. Joe Retaliation.
Okay.
G.I.
Joe. And, of course, you knew this one, Josh, because you saw him in this one, The Crow Salvation.
Oh, true. Yeah.
Josh actually brought that up. So that's at least three comic book movies. Now that we're thinking about it, it's probably more.
Probably.
I bet Officer Down probably got made into a comic book because it really lends itself to it, but I don't have that for certain. And if not, we're going to start working on that shit because that thing should be a good, great comic book. So let's start off with our good friend Mikey. Mikey, what's your favorite Walter Goggins? Everyone get ready to drink because there's going to be a lot of...
For me, I think Walton Goggins is a genius in every role that he does. But if you want to get just a taste of the brilliance, a soupçon, if you will, if you're like, I can't watch five seasons of Justified or The Shield in order to understand the genius that is Walton Goggins, go to Community. It's Advanced Polygraphy is the name of the episode. And in that episode, Chevy Chase's character has passed away. And in order for everybody to get their inheritance that Chevy Chase has left everybody, they have to sit through a polygraph. And Walton Goggins plays the straight-faced, he never fucking cracks a smile or anything and is so deadpan with his delivery of every frickin' line. It is just pure genius. And it's also such a beautiful episode for people who have been fans of Community because Chevy Chase's character went through ups and downs. And that was mainly because he did not want to work on a television show that took up long hours, but he was contractually obligated to do it. And so he was a little bit of a dick to Dan Harmon. And Dan Harmon, the writer, they reflected that and made his character pretty unlikable. But in the end, he gives something to everybody that he believes that they really need and makes them a better person for it. It's a beautiful episode, and Walton Goggins at the end, you have to watch all the way to the end to see him, his character, out drinking with the rest of the characters from the normal Community cast afterwards. That's what really makes the episode for me.
It does. It's a good episode.
I haven't seen this episode. Is it Walter Goggins drinking, or is it this polygraph expert drinking with the guys?
It's the polygrapher.
For a second there, I thought maybe that, like, they had to break character because it was just so emotional.
Nope. No, and I mentioned before that they have a staged reading of that episode for Entertainment Weekly. If you do a YouTube search, you can find it. And they didn't get Walton Goggins. Obviously, he's too busy because he's always working. But they got Pedro Pascal instead. And Pedro Pascal is a fine actor, but he can't get through the lines without losing it because it's the lines are just so fucking funny. But Walton Goggins, again, the total pro that he is, deadpan delivery the whole time.
Give me a young Walter Goggins. No, fuck that. Give me Walter Goggins.
So, Tom, I think you're wrong. I think you can get through all of Justified. Because I've rewatched 3 seasons of Justified just this weekend.
Holy shit.
Yeah. That's clap, clap, clap.
That is some person of interest shit you just pulled.
That is some person of interest shit. Because, man, Walton Goggins just sucks you in. He starts out as this crazy, likes to blow up shit guy, goes into the reformed, totally all about Jesus preacher, goes back into his sort of in-between grayish area of I'm kind of a bad guy, but not all the way a bad guy, and has this sort of hero's journey in the show. And he just sucks you in the entire time.
I have a problem watching Justified because every time the main character, Timothy Oliphant, comes on screen, I'm always like, hey, that's the hitman! And that drives everyone insane, but that's all I can think of. Also, the other thing I think of is that kind of cuckold type character from the Santa Clara Diet. Like, I think we should also take a minute to say that Timothy Oliphant has some great range because he can play that total badass and that total limp noodle that is the Santa Clarita Diet character he plays, both perfectly effectively. And I don't see him as that tough sheriff because of it. I either see him as the hitman who's about to break out at any time, or he's stupid Drew Barrymore, which is also okay.
I do love Justified. I was a very dedicated watcher of Justified. I watched the whole season, all the seasons. I do have to say, one of my favorite things in Justified is they have an episode where it's about the 21-foot rule, which is – it's a hilarious episode. So.
Wait, I don't know this episode, but I know the 21-foot rule very well.
So there's this thing between the knife and gun community wherein the question is often asked, if a man with a knife unsheathed in his hand is 21 feet away from a person who has a holstered pistol – who survives at the end and how do you survive the encounter? So there's a lot, you know, there's a lot of gun training and combat training that goes into this to say that you need to break distance and so on and so forth. And so this goes into an episode of Justified where the bad of the character of the show has his knife out. It's dark. They're squaring off in this dark setting. And the guy's like, you know, have you heard of the 21-foot rule? And, of course, Timothy Oliphant's character is like, yeah. And so the guy goes. Timothy Oliphant goes to draw, but the guy doesn't see that there's a hole in the ground, and he falls into it and falls onto his knife.
Clap, 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 clap.
And it's just brilliant. They just leave it completely unanswered. No resolution whatsoever. Guy kills himself with his knife because he trips in the dark. It's pretty fucking fantastic.
I think the charging guy has as much chance of running into a stump or tripping. Like, I think that's actually pretty smart because in the dark, especially in a wooded area, there's a lot of shit to trip on in 21 feet.
Good stuff.
Especially if you're in a full-ass sprint.
So, fun Alex fact about Justified, Boyd Crowder was supposed to die in the first episode. But the director and the showrunner loved Walton Goggins' performance so much that he survived the gunshot.
How can you not love Walton Goggins? To see him is to love him.
So if we hazard back to when we were having a discussion about the greatest Marvel movie, and before it was released, I said that Spider-Verse was going to be the best Marvel movie that year, and I will still say I was not wrong about that.
I think everyone thinks you're right about that.
I am going to call out right now Goggins' role, and it's a comic book role, is the voice of Cecil Stedman in the upcoming Invincible cartoon.
Invincible is going to be a hard What do you think it's going to win? You think it's going to be the best movie of the year, the best comic book adaptation of the movie of the year?
It's not a movie. It's a series. on Prime.
Oh, okay. I mean, Invincible is going to be hard to like.
Why?
You're confusing it with Irredeemable.
I am. Or incorruptible. I'm Irredeemable.
I'm like, Irredeemable
is so hard to. I mean, that's a tough, dark, gritty thing. Invincible is lighthearted and a lot more
opposite,
fun. Right? Yeah.
Well, I don't know if I'd call it lighthearted. I mean, the main character gets raped suffers from PTSD afterwards.
All true.
So
oh, spoiler!
Spoiler alert!
If you're planning on watching that cartoon, the guy's going to get raped.
Yeah. Mark Hamill's also the voice of it. Sandra Oh, J.K. Simmons, Seth Rogen. There's a lot of great voices in that cartoon. So I can't wait to. That's on my one of my top to see things in 2021.
I didn't even know that was on the radar. I had nothing about that in my thing. All right, for my number one, I think I am going to go with my favorite, which is Officer Down. He plays a fellow officer in this really crazy future LA where crime is pretty much just off the charts. So they have this psychic police officer unit where they have all these psychic people, and they're all hooked to this machine, and their only ability is to keep reviving this officer who had the fortunate or unfortunate name Down, D-O-W-N-E. So Officer Down keeps getting revived as a zombie officer every night. Every night he wakes up, reports in, just does his shift like he's normally doing his shift. And he's got like the coolest weapons. He's got this super crazy combat truck. It's a RoboCop instead of a robot. It's a zombie badass movie, and I love it. Officer Down. If you want cheesy, stupid, by God, Officer Down. That's your movie. Has anyone else seen it but me?
I think I have, but honestly, I can't remember. It might have been one of those like. Maybe I'm a little tipsy and I'm going to put this crazy movie on and I drifted off to sleep.
I gotcha. Maniac Cop is that movie for me sometimes. It's a perfectly good movie starring our good friend. Who's the lead in Maniac Cop? One of his first big roles. I'm stalling because I can't remember. Is that Bruce Campbell? It's Bruce Campbell. He's the Maniac Cop. Spoiler! Mikey, I think you're next. Go ahead.
So for my number two, I'm going to go to the first place where I really recognized Walton Goggins was a phenomenal actor, and that is Back to the Shield. Shield was a cop drama on FX for, I think, 6 seasons, and it is about a strike force team of dirty cops, and Walton Goggins plays Shane Vendrell, who is kind of like the number two of Vic Mackey's crew, and he goes on that kind of hero's journey also, but his journey is a little different. He doesn't start off as corrupt, but Vic and the rest corrupts him as you learn in flashbacks that Vic corrupts him. And after he gets corrupted, he takes Vic's teachings and tries to eventually go on his own and still be a corrupt cop. And he's not good at it. And he gets married and has a kid, and he just wants to fucking get out. Like, he goes on that whole journey, his character, even though he's still morally questionable in what he's going about, but he becomes a family man and wants to protect his family and do what's best for his family. And in the end, that proves to be his undoing, because him and his wife, spoiler, in the last season, they're trying to get away, and they could get away, but they forget the fucking medicine for his kid. And that's how he ends up meeting his final fate, is trying to get the medicine for his kid. So I thought he did a phenomenal job in that. And that was, again, the first place I ever saw him. And I was like, everybody on The Shield is such a phenomenal actor. It is one of the best TV shows about cops you'll ever see.
As someone who has friends who are police officers, Mike, how realistic did you feel The Shield was?
I
always thought it was kind of over the top.
Well, yeah, obviously it's over the top. Every time it looks like these guys are going to get their comeuppance, they figure out a way to avoid it, but it makes their situation even worse than it was before if they had just given up. But the beauty of The Shield is you start off with all of them already corrupt cops, and they're trying, and an undercover agent is trying to infiltrate them to prove that they're corrupt. But then later on, through flashbacks, you find out why they became corrupt. And it takes the whole series and tips it on its head, and you start to understand why they were doing what they were doing.
Yeah, who do you trust when, like, nobody's trustworthy?
Right.
You trust each other. And, you know, that can lead to either great unit cohesion or the whole unit going tits up.
And it does play a lot into cop culture, where it becomes, when you're working on a task force where you're dealing with the worst people, it starts to become us versus them, right? And then pretty soon it's us versus everybody else, because we're going to do whatever it takes to get them.
I love how I'm nodding along like I know what the fuck you're talking about on that one. Sorry about that. That's on me. But it from, you know, what I've read and as a historian, I can see that this they did their homework, because when I read stuff like, you know, Serpico, which is based on a real story and stuff like that, it does seem to follow that, you know, no one starts out corrupt. It's a slow creep to being corrupt. And that does seem to, they do seem to follow a trail that has been well trodden in the past. Tommy, how about you? You got another one for us?
Yeah, John Bronco. Anybody watch John Bronco?
Is that a show or is that a character name?
It's a short film about the main character, John Bronco, is spokesman for the Ford Bronco. And it's this whole sort of made-up backstory about the Ford Bronco based around this man, John Bronco, who is world-known and disappeared from public life. And it was pretty funny. It was a great little comedy sort of thing about this fictitious man, John Bronco, and sort of a mockumentary type of film.
They're re-releasing the Bronco in 2021.
After, the new Bronco looks cool.
Yeah.
Yep. Been a long time since it rock and rolled.
Where did you see this? What platform is it on?
I think it was on Amazon Prime. I didn't have to pay for it. So it was either on Prime or Hulu. It was or Netflix, one of those three.
How short of a short film are we talking?
It was probably a little over an hour.
Oh, okay.
Perfectly cromulent.
But yeah, Walton Goggins was brilliant in it as usual. But it was all about this sort of fictitious character that was larger than life, that was the basis for naming the Ford Bronco, in that Ford only had this sort of concept car that they were going to race in the Baja. They were looking for somebody to race it. And so they hired this cowboy John Bronco.
They got John Bronco to do it. Let me ask you this. Did you watch this because of this podcast, or have you seen this before?
I watched it because of this podcast, but it quickly became brilliantly one of my favorites.
All right. That's a perfect Cromley. All right. Thank you for that. Josh, what do you got next?
I'm going to go with The Hateful Eight.
Drink, you son of a bitch.
I don't know why I haven't seen that yet.
I don't know either.
Oh, you should.
I know, it's right up my alley. It's one of those movies where I meant to go see it a couple times, and I got drunk, and I watched reruns of Family Guy.
So since you haven't seen it, you want to see it, I'll spoil as little as possible. But he plays Christopher Mannix, the son of a Southern general, and I just love his character in this. He really just plays he's just so good. In this movie, he is just so good. He is so spot on in this film. And really, the entire cast is great. And a lot of the people in the cast are I would say, I don't want to say this, but Walton Goggins, right? Like, he's not necessarily a huge actor, right? He is up against some folks who are some serious heavyweights in Hollywood.
I want to say Uma Thurman, but that's just because.
Stop.
I only want to say that because it's Tarantino.
Stop. We lost you.
Me?
No, I lost everybody. I dropped the call. So as Josh had just said, he's up against some heavyweights. And that's where I lost you.
Gotcha. So he's up against some heavyweights, like some really big Hollywood actors, actresses. You know, there's Sam Jackson, Kurt Russell, and Tim Roth. And I think he is just – he drops around in that film. I really loved it. And I think even Jennifer Jason Leigh won Best Supporting Actress for that, I believe.
Sure,
if I
remember
correctly. But it seems like she won something for it. And if she didn't, she should have. But he's right there. He's right there in the action and the mix. And he really holds his own as a personality and an actor in that movie. And I really, really enjoyed a lot of that film.
And he plays a lost causer, right? So he believes that the South and the nobility of slavery, et cetera. So he's an unlikable character, but he may be one of the good guys. It's very strange, and I thought he was brilliant in it. You know, if Tarantino's saying that I want this guy in multiple movies, that the guy's really good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, if you're asked back to the table, it means something. Yeah, I gotta watch this movie. I'll probably watch it tonight, maybe.
I think this was his second Tarantino movie. I think this was his second Tarantino
movie.
What was
his first? It was Reservoir Dogs?
Django Unchained, wasn't it?
Yep.
Was his first, wasn't it?
I think so.
Which was also a great film. And Walton Goggins was great in it as one of the slave masters, wasn't he?
Yeah, Josh, didn't you just watch this?
Yeah, Django Unchained. Yeah, he has a small part in Django Unchained.
Yeah.
It's a good movie. It's not like he's carrying anything. He's really in probably about 7 or 8 minutes of footage in that film.
But does such a good job. That's why Tarantino nabs him
to be. Yeah, Tarantino saw it.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
For my next one, I'm going to go with G.I. Joe Retaliation. He just plays a low-level nobody, but he really – like, you can't take your eyes off him. Like, when he's being a dick, it's just, you gotta do this by the book. I mean, he just, like, I liked it. I couldn't forget him after I saw that. Like, Ant-Man and the Wasp, you guys are gonna have to point out who he was in that. But in Retaliation, I remember his character pretty well.
Well, that's a great segue for my number three. Because my number three is Ant-Man and the Wasp, where he plays Sonny Birch. He is the head of Cross Technologies and is an illegal arms dealer in Ant-Man and the Wasp. In Marvel Comics, Sonny Birch is more of a foe of Ant-Man throughout the series because Cross Technologies is the one that's developing the hench app.
The Hen Chap. I remember that now.
So, but yeah, I thought he plays an excellent bad guy / coward, Sonny Birch, in the Ant-Man and Wasp movie.
Yeah.
All
right. So let's talk a little bit about the thing that he's known for right now, I think, and that is you see his face on TV for The Unicorn awful lot, where he plays a dad who has recently become a widower. His friends are trying to get him back out in the world. Great cast are surrounding him of people trying to get him to, re-enter society and not just be, the robotic take care of the kids, take care of the house, come back kind of person that he kind of fell into that routine for about a year after his wife passes away. They get him out dating. They get him talking to people. They get him going back out to dinner and socializing again. The reason they call it the unicorn is because finding an actual nice guy his age, that there's nothing wrong with him. Why am I staring at Josh?
Josh has got his legs open. Like he's just getting ready to get an exam.
Can't a guy relax on his own podcast?
So finding a guy who's not divorced, not with a lot of baggage, and not evil, and still in the dating pool at his age, they call him the unicorn because of that.
I've watched some of the episodes. It's a reasonable watch.
It's well written. Like the dialogue is snappy. The acting is good. I just don't have relatable. The themes aren't that relatable to me, so I think that's why it's not drawing me in.
Huh? Yeah. For some reason, for me, it feels a little relatable.
Yeah. I was wondering. Like that's why I was kind of staring at you even before I noticed that you were in the gynecological stirrups and just shooting that right at the Zoom camera.
And anybody who wants to see that Zoom camera, you can just message me at the Longbox Guys on Twitter.
Yeah, obviously he's in the dating pool. delicious. Has anyone watched more than one or two episodes, though?
I haven't watched any of it yet.
I watched the first season.
You watched the whole first season, okay.
Yeah.
You're way more of an expert on this than me. I mean, Goggins is good in it. I always knew he was funny because sometimes you'd see that funniness come out in some of his characters. But what did you think?
I thought it was okay. I mean, it was it was watchable enough where I went through the whole season. Like I said, it is somewhat relatable to me at this moment. But overall, it's a watchable, like, sort of romantic comedy-ish, show. That's fine. It's not going to blow me away or anything, but I think he does a great job with the character he's given, and it's a fine show.
Well, all right.
Eminently watchable.
Was that all everyone's big ones? You want to go to honorable mentions?
I had
a finger up. What do you got, buddy?
Ultra American. Nobody's mentioned it. Nobody's even brought it up.
That's with the little guy there, the little squirrely guy.
Yeah.
And he plays a brainwashed super assassin.
Well, he just plays a CIA agent who's ordered to take out this kid.
Yeah, but the kid is a...
A sleeper agent who's kind of been programmed as like an ultra CIA agent and doesn't realize it until he's been activated. And then all of this, there's like an entire division of the CIA that's trying to take him out. And he kind of has this whole sort of programming built in that he just knows these things and foils them.
So Goggins...
Goggins is one of the people trying to take him out and one of the ones that kind of survives the longest. And his character is just laughter because he's like finding the whole thing hilarious. But he does a great job at it. Because he plays a great bad guy.
All right. That one didn't hook me in, mostly because the female lead is the girl from all the Twilight movies.
The vampire Twilight movies, yeah.
Yeah. Recently I've started liking way more because she's really funny on Saturday Night Live. Anytime she guest hosts or is on there, she's hilarious. I just didn't like the vampire movies, I guess. So maybe I'll give Ultra America.
You know, I was going to say, you know, I actually found that the acting from her was not that bad. You know, it was actually, it was better than I was expecting.
Yeah, Kristen Stewart's her name. And yeah, she was pretty good in the Charlie's Angels movie, the last one. Even though that was a pretty terrible movie, she was pretty good in it. So, yeah, I'll give her a chance in other stuff that's coming up. She's getting funnier. I guess I just didn't like her in the Twilight movies because they didn't give her anything to do except look sullen. I mean, what did she have to work with? Be sullen all the time. All right. Sure. Anybody else? Some honorable mentions?
So I have a mention that I haven't actually seen. I do just kind of want to see it. It's called Deep State. I haven't heard of the show, but he's in like about half the episodes.
That rings a bell.
Seems like a spy thriller out of Fox. I just don't know where to watch it.
All right.
You know, as long as we're talking about that, I have never watched The Sons of Anarchy. But he plays a cross dresser named Venus Van Damme. So I kind of want to. He's only in six episodes, so I kind of want to watch Sons of Anarchy now, knowing that I will have some Walton Goggins in it.
And he looks terrific.
One of my brother's drill sergeants is an actor in Sons of Anarchy.
Ah. I thought it was going to go way left.
Yeah, I thought you were going in the cross-dressing hooker direction.
Now, yeah, one of the guys who was one of my brother's drill sergeants at Basic is one of the actors in Sons of Anarchy.
Neat.
I also liked him as Lee Russell in Vice Principals.
I haven't watched that. Is that any good?
See, the problem is, like, all of the characters are really horrible people. But when I had nothing to do and HBO was running a marathon, I just kind of sat down and watched episodes. So he's funny in it. Don't get me wrong. He plays one of the other vice principals. These two vice principals are trying to vie to become the next principal of the school. That's essentially it.
Okay. Who's the other vice principal? Who's the opposite?
Danny McBride.
Huh.
Oh, good offset there.
Yeah, it seems like a good combo, but yeah, I don't know. Never watched it.
You know, I forgot, though, my honorable mention, I'm going to say Machete Kills El Chameleon. He plays the chameleon, played by many, many different characters, because the chameleon can, you know, change their face at will. I think, in my mind, Walter Goggins is the chameleon. That was his real face. And,
Walton.
Walton, thank you. Actually, they have him listed officially as Walt Goggins under Machete Kills for some reason. I don't know why. Just saying.
They're trying to save money by cutting off those two letters.
Well, those are expensive letters.
Because they couldn't figure out if his name was Walter or Walton. And they were just like, Walt.
I screwed it up a little bit. When El Chameleon is on screen, in his character, the character the chameleon is playing is Walt Goggins. Not Walton, but Walt Goggins, an insurance salesman. Yeah. So that's kind of fun. Did not get that at first from first reading through that. So yeah, Walt Goggins. I remember he was an insurance salesman. I never thought he gave his name as Walt. He's just real good. He kind of plays this, like, you know something else is going on with this character as soon as you see him. Like, you don't see a character like this in a movie and he doesn't have anything going on. He's just too much of a presence, which, you know, might actually be against him. But he was terrific in that.
He also is in Lincoln, although I've never seen the Lincoln movie. With Daniel Day-Lewis. So has anybody seen that?
You must have seen Lincoln.
I did watch it.
Plays Clay Hawkins, former U.S. House of Representative.
I don't.
I'm going to probably watch it now.
I don't remember much about the movie, honestly.
So my honorable mention is World's Fastest Indian, which is a charming film with Anthony Hopkins as a pensioner from New Zealand who spends about 23 years working on his Indian motorcycle. And Walter Goggins happens to be one of the guys at the Utah sand flats and helps him be able to run his motorcycle on the sand flats and have his times recorded. And he just has a very bit role in it, but it's him being a good guy.
Yeah. And the reason
I was about to yell at you that you'd already talked about this, but you talked about this on our Patreon only one. So just time to plug that real quick. If you're not a member of our Patreon page, for only $1 a month.
What? That's crazy.
That's right.
That's crazy.
I know. It sounds like I'm high as fuck, but it's true. For just $1 a month, you can also hear us talk about what we're doing during the week. That's other geeky stuff besides comic books and movies and other pop culture stuff. So that's why I was about to yell at LT, just in case anyone noticed me getting that red face look.
Are you high as fuck, Tom?
I'm a little drunk, but I'm not high as fuck.
Okay.
So wait, you're saying for $1 a month, I can go to patreon.com/thelongboxguys and get an extra podcast called The Geek Leak, where you guys talk about all the geeky things that you've been up to. And Stacy, who is not dead, by the way, I want to stress that Stacy is not dead.
Cannot stress it enough.
Just not on this episode. Stacy will talk about her toys and stuff. Oh, my God, that sounds phenomenal. I can't believe that that's only $1 a month. And all of the money, where does that money go?
Believe it or not, all that money goes to charity. That goes to the Elizabeth Peabody Establishment House, more specifically to a food bank run by, let me see, I'm going to check the paperwork here, by me, Tom Strange.
Yeah.
So if you want to get your geek on every week and like it, listening to us babble about stuff, go ahead and donate, because you are actually donating to a food bank.
Absolutely. If you want to donate money to a charity, but so little that it can't possibly show up on your taxes, and still get a podcast for it, this is the path for you.
Yeah.
Hey, anyone who does donate, I will make sure that you get a blank donation thing, and you can fill out as any way you want.
Hey.
Good thing there's no federal agents listening to this. Any last words on Walton Goggins?
No, I wish he had been on the podcast. No. We tried. Josh tried.
Josh.
I even gave him a last chance fancy pants right on Facebook, but he didn't go for it.
Well, you know what? He's got a lot of irons in the fire.
Yeah.
We don't hold it against you, my friend. You're still one of our favorites.
Hey, man, this is Kevin Smith, Silent Bob from all those terrible Jay and Silent Bob type pictures, and you are listening to Thinking Outside the Long Box, comics talk for comics fans.
All right, I guess that brings us to the front of the long box. Mikey, what do you got?
At the front of the long box, I have the Legion of Superheroes. It is currently being written by Brian Michael Bendis. And it is just delightful. If you remember the Legion of Superheroes back in the old days,
it's what?
Mike, sorry, you froze for us, Mike.
Oh, well, didn't freeze on my side, so now you guys look ridiculous.
Sorry.
Ah.
Carry on.
So, I mean, where did it? I don't remember where I was. So I'm going to, at the front of the long box, I've got Legion of Superheroes. It's currently being written by Brian Michael Bendis. If you are a fan of the old Legion of Superheroes, it has that kind of almost wholesome feeling without being ridiculously wholesome. And I say that very hesitantly, because when Mike Grell started drawing those ladies in the, oh my God. Thank you, Mike Grell. Thank you. Sorry, I went off on a tangent there. That's not my purview. That's Josh's. Josh, what do you have for us on a tangent?
I've been thinking about my my tangent today a bit, and so I was I had talked about on our other podcast that I just started watching the Queen's Gambit, a show about chess, which I know nothing about. Chess always seemed like something I wanted and or should have played as a child and never did. So what is the thing you think you would have had an aptitude for, but you never went down that path?
I like the way you worded that, because, Josh, you would have loved chess as a kid, because it's a role-playing game. I mean, it's not, it's a tactical turn-based strategy game. Like, it's the first – it's exactly what it is. I mean, it's a turn-based tactical strategy game, and you love those. So you would have been really good at it. Let me think. Something I want to – I think that if I had been born into a household that had a little bit more disposable income, I would have been a much better student. The idea of going to college and all that as a kid was ridiculous. Like, no, you're turning 18, you're getting a shitty job, and you're getting the fuck out of this house. Was pretty much – I'm pretty sure that was on our coat of arms. It was like, the fuck out at 18 was on the – and get a job and you suck. So I think that if I had a little more – I think I would have been a better student if I had gotten a little bit more if I had gotten a little bit more into it as a kid. I love history. I can read any history book from the beginning to the end now just for fun. But as a kid – you know, I just didn't get that. So I think I would have been a much better student had I got a little encouragement as a kid. Or model railroads. Two things.
Two things.
So for me, it's carpentry, because I was really good at math, and my dad was literally a carpenter. However, my dad didn't have a dad growing up. He was an orphan and spent a number of years in the orphanage. And so he didn't really know how to – he didn't have a role model to be a dad. My dad was a great dad. Don't get me wrong. He did the best he could. But he didn't have the capacity to know when to tell me, hey, come out here. I want to teach you how to do this. He just assumed that I would learn everything on my own, because that's how he had to learn everything on his own. And he figured if I was going to want to learn how to do carpentry, I would come to him and ask him. And so I never got that opportunity to learn carpentry from him. And when I finally did, I wanted to make a chest for this woman I was living with. And I said, Dad, I will buy all the materials. I want to make it, but can you please show me how to make it? And he was very excited that I was taking an interest in carpentry. However, I didn't live at my house with him. And so every time I came home, the chest would be more completed than it was previously. And I'd be like, Dad, you were supposed to show me how to do this. He's like, I just cut some boards and hammered it together. It's not very complicated. I'm like, but Dad, I wanted to build this. And he's like, yeah, all right, well, glue that. You know, so every time I came home to help work on this goddamn chest, it was more completed and like, oh, it's drying now. You can't touch it and everything. It turned out to be gorgeous. Don't get me wrong, but I literally glued four things on it. And I think he gave me the gluing part because he didn't think I could fuck that up. So, like, carpentry is always something that I thought, you know, man, I wish I had – I'd been more vocal and had my dad teach me. And so now I think in retirement, I think I want to try carpentry.
All right. Two sad ones in a row. Tommy.
I think if I had more opportunity or at least had been more motivated, I think I could have been a halfway decent mechanic.
So I was thinking that for you too, man.
Because, I mean, when stuff goes wrong with my car, I usually know what's wrong. I can diagnose the things, but I don't always know how to fix it. And that's more... Yes, I do love fiddling with stuff.
But that's as far as you go.
Well, I mean, like I said, I don't always know how to fix it. I mean, now there's resources. Now you can just look shit up on the internet and it'll tell you how to do things. Whereas when we were growing up, that wasn't the case. Like, if your parents didn't have the knowledge, then, you know, it was harder to find.
And that reminds me, everybody, tomorrow vote right to repair. Yeah, but Tommy, you always seem really happy underneath the hood of a car. You don't know what you're doing. But you really seem genuinely interested.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I like figuring out how stuff works.
I think Josh, yours was chess?
And I think the other one's just a musical instrument. So when I was growing up, we had a baby grand piano in our house. And then my parents tried to have my brother take lessons, and he quit. They tried to have my sister take lessons, and she quit. And by the time it came around to me, they're like, he'll just quit. And so no music lessons for me whatsoever. So thanks, Mark and Jamie, you cunts.
I remember exactly when I got talked out of learning to play a musical instrument. My dad was a bass player, and I really wanted to learn to play the bass or the guitar and the banjo. Those were like the three instruments I was really interested in. But we had this old shitty violin that my sister tried to play, and she wouldn't play. So they made a deal with me. If I learned to play the violin, because that would teach me how to read music, I could then someday get a guitar. And I fucking hated the violin. So they kind of talked me into enjoying music at all by foisting on me my sister's used piece of shit violin. Not that I'm bitter. And once again, Dad, semi-famous musician. I should have had some of the talent. I don't. Because I've tried many times since. Many, many. My wife likes to say that it comes around, like every 4 years, I'm like, yeah, I'm going to learn how to play an instrument. She's like, oh, great. There's $2,000 gone.
You can play. I've heard you play. You're not bad.
Yeah, I always learn to play a little bit. Yeah. I got three songs on the internet out there if you want to go look for them. My cover of I Kissed a Girl is actually pretty good, I think. So I can play a little bit, but it comes around. Right now, I'm learning how to clog.
I'll tell you why.
Why?
Nah,
because you're just a girl? All right, I think that'll just about do it for that.
Are we skipping my section?
Yeah. What? All right, Tommy, fine. What's in the back of the long box?
I've got Iron Man Industrial Revolution by Fred Van Lentney, Steve Kurth, and Juan Doe. This was released in June of 2016. And this is a story that takes place back in the Iron Man world when Tony Stark was losing his company because he was an alcoholic back in the 70s. It takes place right in there. And in it, Tony is washed up. He's got no money. And he's on the street. And he saves a guy who's obviously has some mental illness, probably schizophrenia, and helps him out, brings him to his home, gets let in and kind of taken care of. And Tony Stark notices there's an abandoned factory across the street. He's in this, you know, poor neighborhood and tries to kind of help the neighborhood, help this guy that he helped, that kind of helped him on his path to recovery by helping him. And in it, he kind of sort of gets noticed by the Pride in the Runaways comics. People are familiar with the Pride. And the Pride starts going after Tony Stark. And he unwittingly defeats them time and time again, not realizing that he's being targeted. And he still has a suit of Iron Man armor. It's just not the most current one. It's an older version, and he kind of fights them off and fights off these hitmen and people that the Pride are sending. And it's a really good story about Tony Stark trying to build up this community and getting turned away both in the business world and in the sort of hero side of things, all because the Pride is trying to thwart him because they think he's muscling in on their territory. And it was a pretty good story.
All right. I'll read that, maybe.
That was yeah.
Fred of the podcast, Fred Van Lente.
Quick 3 to 18, soft served ice cream. 3 to 18. Josh.
So there's a huge caveat here. So mostly only because it generally comes in two or three traditional flavors. I'm gonna put it at a 13.
Just because you don't get enough flavors?
Yeah.
All right. Fair enough.
I mean, if there was some place near me that had peanut butter soft serve all the time, we're talking like 1836.
Wow.
We're talking
going old school.
Yeah. Yes, that's right. We're going +2, +5.
All right.
I've never even had peanut butter soft serve.
Oh,
you can get it. It's good.
I've never even seen it. That's how rare it is.
So, rolling a 13.
There's a couple places in malls that'll have like two extra flavors. And I always look to see if one of those flavors is a mint. That's one of my favorites. And the peanut butter is also really good. Mikey, 3 to 18, soft serve ice cream.
For me, it's a 16 because I have flashbacks to when I was a kid going to Fenway Park, and I would be allowed to, one, get one baseball hat, and two, by the fifth inning, if I was well-behaved, I would get the plastic helmet upside down with soft serve ice cream in it. And to this day, I've been, as an adult, to many baseball stadiums, and I go out of my way to get that goddamn hat, soft serve cup, because it just brings back so many great childhood memories.
That's fair.
I love that because one of our stuffed animals, Mr. Wumpus, loves it when we come back from a baseball game with one of those plastic helmets for him.
Yeah.
He loves having it. We don't have to get time to wash it out.
Okay, quick baseball story. My cousin, all my cousins are from New Jersey and New York. They come up. They're all Yankees fans. My uncle gets us all to go to a Yankees-Red Sox game at Fenway. So we're rolling up, and my cousin Steve is really excited because he wants to get heckled. So not only is he wearing a Yankees jersey, he's wearing a Mattingly jersey. Just for the double hit for Boston fans. Yeah. We roll into the parking lot. We park. The door opens. He literally doesn't even get his foot onto Boston soil. And then some guy just walks by and goes, "Hey, Mattingly, suck a dick." I honestly think that maybe the – no, I'm going to put it over his wedding day. That might be the greatest day of his life, dude. He was so happy. I have never seen somebody happier. To be fucking insulted. It was awesome.
Nice. Tommy, 318.
I'm going to say 16. I got to agree with Josh. There's not enough flavors, but I usually go for the twist because it gives me the most options. Body loves soft serve dripping down in the June sun.
What?
You never heard the soul coughing song?
Not like that. My favorite flavor happens to be vanilla, so I'm going to give it a nice solid 17. I love it with chocolate jimmies. Get the chocolate jimmies on there.
No, you don't. You love it with chocolate sprinkles because you're not a dickhead.
What the fuck are sprinkles?
Look, jimmies are the different colored ones. Sprinkles are chocolate.
What? What are you talking about?
No, Mike's... Jimmy's just a racist term for sprinkles.
Racist? What?
Yeah.
I had no idea that Jimmy's was a racist term for sprinkles.
Have you ever heard the term Jimmy hat?
No.
Okay. That's a condom.
Yeah. So Jimmy is a generically racist term.
All right.
Go ahead and take a look around.
I'm going to look it up, and if this is something I have to, like, get out of my vocabulary, I will.
It's probably something we should all just purge from our vocabulary, yeah.
I always thought it was just the chocolate sprinkles that came on my cone, but I will look
me
it
too.
Up.
Me too. Me too.
Sometimes to grow, we have to accept that something we knew and loved is hurtful and we didn't know it and get rid of it.
Yep.
All right. Thank you very much for that.
I just stole your segment in reverse.
Boom. Hey, I love learning that something that I've always known. I mean, it's interesting to me that some of the blind spots we have because of the way we grew up, you know, we have.
Yeah.
But that brings us to plugs. Anyone got anything to plug? We got nothing coming up, but we did talk a little bit about Pensacon to the Pensacon guys. So that's coming up.
So before we get into plugs, I would just like to have a moment of silence for Sean Connery. Just passed away at 90. Sean Connery, so many great movies. Quick, guys, what is your favorite Sean Connery movie and why?
God, it's so dark.
It's tough, right?
I really loved him in Indiana Jones.
That's my wife's favorite.
Yep. But I don't know if I can say it's my favorite.
For me, my favorite Sean Connery movie is Darby O'Gill and the Little People.
That's a fun one. That's thrown me back.
For me, when I think of Sean Connery, I immediately think of Zardoz.
No, you don't. You think of Zardoz.
I do.
Snarky. Though I did think of Zardoz.
Because once you see Sean Connery in that god-awful red outfit, it's hard to not think of Sean Connery in that god-awful red outfit.
I think I have to go with his first incantation, but that's wrong.
Incarnation?
Thank you. The first incarnation of James Bond, which is Dr. No. I think I have to go with that because he's just so cool.
I think I have to go with Juan Sanchez Villalobos Ramirez.
Really?
Because when you need somebody to play a Spaniard, you get a guy with a Scottish fucking accent.
It's funny. It's funny. Very unpopular, I'm sure, but I loved him in League of Extraordinary Gentlemen.
That is unpopular.
No one loved No, you're wrong. How dare you? Yeah. How dare you, sir? He didn't even like being in that movie.
I was going to say, you could love him and not to love the movie.
Did you guys remember why he took the role, by the way?
They backed up a truck full of cash.
Actually, his explanation is really funny. He says, I turned down Gandalf because I didn't understand the fucking role. And I turned down Professor Xavier because I didn't understand the fucking role. I didn't understand this one, but I didn't want to fucking turn down another one of those things.
He chose poorly.
I know. That's his explanation of why he was in the thing in the fucking first place. That's pretty funny. I had no idea they had him tagged for all those other movies. Or maybe he's just lying. Who's this Sean Connery? He might have just been having a good time with us.
Yeah.
Rest in peace, Sean Connery. You are missed.
And on that, I would like to also thank Kirby Crackle for providing our geek rock music every week. You can check them out at kirbycracklemusic.com. And if you're in the mood for a different kind of podcast, Seth and the boys over at whosnextisgaming.com have a number of podcasts on gaming, pop culture, sex robots, and movies so bad you'll love them. So check them out.
And if you're also in the mood for another kind of podcast, go to the Retro Network. You can hear our good friend Stacy talk about all kinds of stuff, who, I can't emphasize this enough, is alive and well, as far as we know. She's really hilarious. She talks about pop culture stuff, and they have a little game show over there. They have all kinds of good stuff. So go to the RetroNetwork.com. A lot of fun stuff over there. Anything to plug there, Josh?
No.
Yeah, I'm going to plug real quick Alpha and Omega Alpha and Omega GameStop. And also my new favorite, kind of becoming my new favorite, Battlegrounds Games over in Abington. They're The people who are over there are really, really good about taking in people who are new to the game and making them feel real welcome. I feel really welcome whenever I go there. And thank you, Battlegrounds Games, for making a noob like me feel welcome.
I used to go Battlegrounds at their other location when it was in Norton. But
Norton!
I would like to thank the pneumonia vaccine for my crazy amount of shoulder pain. What's wrong with you people? What's wrong?
Did you look up and see if that was a side effect, or are you having a bad reaction?
I don't know.
I would just look. When I had that reaction to the shingle shot, I immediately looked, and it says, "No, no, it's god awful. You're right." It made me feel better.
I forgot to tell you. It's awful.
Why would you do that to yourself? To know that this is the worst thing you can put in your body ever. Like, I might be an anti-vaxxer after this.
I would like to thank eBay. They just got me the first appearance of Havoc and the first appearance of Sauron. So my X-Men, Uncanny X-Men collection is getting filled up. And I got Power Pack number one, so there's only two issues missing till I have the whole series, Josh. And that will be your Christmas present at some point. You're going to love it. You're going to start reading and going, wow, how did I fucking miss this back in the day?
I'm pretty sure I remember why.
Oh, yeah. All right, I think that will do it for us. Mikey, what is this podcast like to you?
It's like Drunk History, but for comics. Or Walton Goggins.
That's sweet. Like Walton Goggins. Sweet.
Walton.
Damn it, Walt.
All right, new drinking game. Go back and re-listen to this podcast, and every time he calls Walton Goggins, Walter, drink.
Walter Goggins, drink.
Or Walt. Tommy, sweet, sweet Tommy. Any words of wisdom for us?
Well, it's before the election, so Kentucky... It's about time you got rid of Mitch McConnell. Kentucky. Or Kentucky. What the fuck did you do, Kentucky? Why didn't you get rid of that son of a bitch, Mitch McConnell? There.
Don't worry. I'll edit the podcast to do the appropriate one. I'm just kidding. I'm not going to do that.
Just kidding.
You're not that good.
I don't care that much.
It's not really my thing.
And Josh, they've just moved Massachusetts back up to phase two, meaning we can no longer. I think we have a 10:30 curfew now.
10 o'clock.
Sitting
curfew
at the bar in Massachusetts restaurants is no longer my sector.
Boo.
Womp womp. Sorry, guys.
9:30 places have to stop serving people, and liquor stores are closed. 10 o'clock, you got to be home.
I can't remember the last time I was at a restaurant or a bar at 9:30 at night, so I don't really feel affected.
That's just being old. Like, me and my wife are like, none of this affects us in the fucking least. If they stop serving, if they stop sending Drizzly drivers out, that'll affect me. I had my boy roll in at 11:30 last night. Hey, Mr. Strange. Hey, Kevin. How's school going there, kiddo? I love Kevin. And don't cry, I would say.
Kevin is your Drizzly guy?
Yeah.
So, quick story. When I was in the Army, we would go to the Watertown Indians baseball game. It was a single A team, and they were pretty bad. But we would start... We would sit in the bleachers and we would start screaming and yelling the whole game. And there was this kid, Kevin, who walked around selling concessions. And Kevin wasn't old enough to sell beer. But we would demand Kevin go get the beer guy for us. Kevin would go get the beer guy and bring him to us. And we would tip the beer guy and Kevin for having brought us the beer guy. So Kevin was my beer guy. I wonder.
Kevin's all grown up and delivering beer
professionally. He's like,
professionally.
We had made such an impression on him. He was like, this is what I want to do when I grow up.
Squire, fetch me the beer guy.
Kevin Drizzly. Who knew?
Who knew? And don't forget what I always say. Don't diss what you hate. Just support what you love. You're going to live a lot longer. And God damn it, I love democracy. So let's hope that lives on past next week, guys. And so long from the Longbox, guys.